I want us to consider today a lesson in thought is that of going down the valley. Back when I was younger, there was an older song book, I believe it was a red song book, very thin, and this song was in it. We are going down the valley one by one with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Now really, that song kind of stuck with me throughout the years, and when you think about our lives on this earth and, you know, the purpose of our being here, you know, we are, each and every one, individually, going down this valley of life. Each and every one of us. With our hopes toward that of heaven itself. But there are many things and many obstacles, many things that we're going to have to face day by day that is going to be difficult and trying. We've got to learn how to overcome them. We need to learn how to be resilient and be able to fight that good fight of faith, as we find Paul telling Timothy in his last letter that he wrote to him. He said, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Paul, with all the examples that we have of Paul and his resilience to all the trials that he went through in his life, he never let anything stand in his way. He had his face toward the setting of the sun, that hope of heaven. And everything that he did was to get him closer and closer to it. I want us to think, if you will, and considering that in thought, I want us to look into the lesson today. And according to James 4:14, it says, our lives are like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. And I've used this example many, many times. And when we use a teapot, not too many people use those anymore. And everybody anymore has those things where you stick a pot in and that's how you get your tea or your coffee now. So not very few people use a teapot anymore. But when you use one, you see the vapors coming up. And very quickly it goes away. And that's in comparison to our lives. That's just how quickly we go through life. And as it goes on, it says we are born into this world, we grow older every day, and then we die. And during this time, what we need to consider is some things that we need to keep in mind as we go through this journey of life. I want us to consider, if you will, and I apologize, I don't know, my screen's looking pretty dark here, but I'm looking up there and that looks pretty good. I obviously chose too dark of a background. So bear with me if you can't read it, but we live until we die to the Lord. We find, and let's just begin our lesson here in Romans chapter 14. In this particular passage here, we find here, as the Apostle Paul is addressing these Christians in Rome, in chapter 14 in verses 7 and 8, he says, for none of us lives to himself, and he says, no one dies to himself. For if we live, he says, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, for this reason, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are His creation, created by God for service to God. Our lives are in the hands of God. And when we die, our souls are in the hands of God. We find an example. We need to live the best life that we can possibly live. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now prior to that verse here, we find in this same passage in Matthew 6 that there are many people that worry about, and they're worried about so many different things, of the things of life, the necessities of life, and all of these things. But yet the Lord says, I'm watching over you. I'm taking care of you. I know what your needs are. I will supply you. And so we find in Matthew 6:33 that with that kind of comfort in knowing that God is watching over us, he says the priority is to seek after Him, putting Him first and His righteousness. We find also that we have only one opportunity to do this. Whenever we look at James chapter 4 and turning your Bibles over to James chapter 4, and we find here also that he speaks here in verses 13 through 15 of this passage, He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go and... We will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Many of us have many things, many desires that we, you know, some people refer to them as bucket lists. But we have desires. We have things that we want to accomplish in this life. But yet going with the confidence that we will do it. And that's what he's trying to say here. He says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For he says, and he gives this question, he says, what is your life? Well, as again, as we've already mentioned it, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So the mindset that he's trying to get us to understand here is that we may not accomplish everything that we've set out to do. But yet what we need to have the mindset of is that we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do such and such. So many times we kind of we need to put things in proper perspective. As we just said here earlier, that our lives are in the hands of God. And when we die, that is in the hands of God. None of us know. We don't have no set date when we're born. You know, it's like some people, they go through life thinking, oh, I've got this set date that I was born, and I know this set date that I'm going to die. We don't have that. We don't have that luxury. We don't know. I mentioned before that I used to work in a funeral home. And you know, funerals are not just for the elderly. Those that die are young also. And I've witnessed many a funeral of young teenagers, young adults who have passed from this life, either from some tragic accident or from some severe illness that they had. Their lives were before them, but yet it was taken early in life. We don't have any promises of tomorrow. So when we have the opportunity to do things that are good and wholesome and do things that are in service to God, let us do them while we have the opportunity, because this is the only opportunity we might have to do so. We must live, as they say here, every day of our lives as if it was our last. If you knew that today was going to be the last day of your life, what changes would you make in your life? There's a country song out that a man was told that he had a very grave illness, and this is kind of the context of the song. The country song. And it's like he was told by the doctor that, you know, you've got this very severe illness. You only got so many days or so many months to live. And as he left the doctor's office, it says he started rethinking his life, thinking of how many people he wanted to ask for forgiveness, asking how many things that he put off doing with others, like his father and others, that he could have done, and he did those. So what changes would we make knowing that this might be the last day of our lives? It's something to think about. Whenever we consider also the idea of going down this valley of life, we all have an appointment with death. We need to understand that. We don't, you know, sometimes people, you know, My wife, I'm one of them. My wife will say, you know, we need to get a will set up. We need to get cemetery plots arranged. We need to get some things arranged so the kids... I say, I don't want to talk about that right now. But what she's trying to get me to realize is reality. Death comes upon each and every one of us. And we need to be prepared for it. Whenever we look at Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We all have that appointment with death. And we need to be ready for that day. In 2 Timothy 4, we find there again what Paul said. He said, I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. I've been faithful unto God. I've done everything that I could possibly do for the Lord. He has done all this in preparation for His day, knowing that His life was coming to an end. How many of us can say we've kept the faith? How many of us can say we've fought the good fight? How many of us can say we have finished our course? Hopefully each and every one of us are striving and working hard at trying to accomplish each and every one of those, just as Paul did. Because as he said, the reward of heaven is not just for him only, but unto all those who love his appearing. We need to recognize our life here determines our destiny. How we live our lives, not that we deserve eternal life in heaven. Eternal life in heaven is a blessing from God. It's God's mercy upon man. We don't do anything deserving of it. But yet we need to rest assured that how we live our lives on this earth will determine where we will spend our eternity. When you turn your Bibles back over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 7 through 12 there, we find there, he says this, godliness with contentment is great gain. For he says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of this world. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But he says, there are those who desire to be rich and fall into temptation and a snare, to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. They're not preparing for eternity. They are basically looking at the present and not the future. And it says there that they will drown themselves in these destruction and perdition. For the love of money, says, is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But then he says in verses 11 and 12, he brings this reassurance. He says, you, O man of God, as he's speaking here to Timothy in particular, but it applies to each and every one of us. O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And then he says, fight the good fight of faith. See, just as he told Timothy, I've kept the faith, I've fought a good fight, I finished my course. Here he's instructing Timothy to do the very same thing. Be righteous. Be faithful unto God. Do the things that are good in service to God. And as he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, he says, on eternal life, to which you were also called and having confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We determine our destiny. God has instructed us how we can have that eternal life in heaven. But it's up to each and every one of us as we go through this journey of life to not only accept what God says, but make the application to our own lives. Well, we find also that whenever we think about this journey of life that we're going through, that we must answer the resurrection call. In John chapter 5, turn your Bibles back over to John chapter 5, and we'll notice here that in this particular passage here, in John 5, 28 and 29, we find here where he says here, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. They will all come forth, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. We need to be prepared and ready for that resurrection call. The end of time is coming. Judgment is coming upon each and every one of us. We'll all stand before that judgment seat of God. We will all be raised. As we find other passages that talk about it in Revelation chapter 20, it talks there about that, you know, the grave is not the end. So many people think that, you know, and I've always used the phrase, we're not like Rover, we're not dead all over. This physical life, when it comes to an end, is just the end of the beginning of a different life, a resurrected life, a spiritual life in heaven. Whenever we read in Revelation 20 there, in verse 12 beginning, notice there it says, I saw, and John speaking here himself, he says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. What books are those? The words by which we are reading from today. This is what we will be judged by. And it says, these books were opened. And it says there, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in those books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Notice here, there is no one that is excluded from this judgment. Each and every one, whether dead or alive, whether in the sea or in the grave, they will all be resurrected to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And each one will be judged according to his works. Then he goes on to say, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. Now we go on over into chapter 21, and we notice he continues this thought, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What a wonderful sight to imagine in your mind. Can you picture that in your mind? Of what heaven is, the brilliance of it. And he goes further and explains a little more about it. And he says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. It says there that God will wipe away all their tears. And he says, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You know, I think of the physical pains of this life, and I think of the disappointments in this life, this physical life. Well, in heaven, none of that will be there. It will all be taken away. Then he sat on the throne, and he said, behold, I make all things new. He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Again, referring back to the idea that how we live our lives determines our destiny in the after. As he goes on to say there, I will be his God and he shall be my son. But then he says in verse 8, and he gives this warning unto each and every one of us, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now imagine, if you will, as we go through this journey of life, there is nothing on this earth that compares to what John just described to us of heaven. That's why our faces should be toward the setting of the sun, looking toward that hope of heaven itself. Heaven is the splendor of which the paradise, you might say, of what we're all working and striving for. Whenever we think about this grave, there's life beyond. Life beyond the present. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he gives us a reassurance of this. When Paul is talking here to these Christians, he gives that reassurance exactly as he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 18. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, there's what, you know, we talked about hope this morning. Hope is what promotes us. It's what motivates us to do the things that we need to do so that we can inherit this eternal life in heaven. And he's trying to comfort us here in recognizing that the death of loved ones, the death of friends, even our own death. He says, rest assured, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. The reassurance of the resurrection of the dead. Whenever you think about, and you know, Jesus, perfect example to the early Christians, when Lazarus had passed away, he had been in the grave for so many days. And yet, we find Jesus going into the grave, and when Jesus came out, Lazarus was walking and talking with him. When the disciples stood before Jesus in Acts chapter 1, and they watched him descend to heaven, again, we have that reassurance that He will come again and He will raise us up into the air to be with Him throughout eternity. That is the hope that lies with each and every one of us. And so He says there, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these thoughts." That's a comforting thing to know. That this life is not the end. There's a resurrection call that's coming. That day is coming just as sure as I'm standing here today. And we will answer to that call. I want us to also recognize that as we go through this valley of journey, that we must appear at the judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 again, "For all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of himself unto God." Each and every one of us will have to give an account of our lives on this earth. I want us to think about in Matthew chapter 7. It talks about the wide gate. There's a warning given here of a wide gate. A wide gate that he says many will go in thereat. But it leads to destruction. Now he talks about another gate, a very narrow passage per se, which creates, as we know, more challenges. You know, we were talking about the bridge being out over on 73. And so everybody's being rerouted. Well, this road here is not really made for that much traffic. It's narrower. It's not as productive as 73 is. So there's more challenges. Today, when we leave services today, with all the activities going on around us, and one of the things that I said to Kyle was, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody was coming here to church service before they went to all these events? But we've got all these events going on around us. And it's going to make challenges for each and every one of us to get to our homes safely. There's challenges in life. And we've got to face those challenges. We just can't run from them. The majority of society runs from challenges. They don't want to face the challenges. So wide is the gate that leads to destruction. There's very few that accept the challenges and overcome the challenges. And very few will enter into that gate which leads unto life eternal. Judgment is coming. Unfortunately, very few will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because we didn't face the challenges. We didn't overcome the challenges, but we ran from them. There's going to be a great separation, as we're all familiar with Matthew chapter 25. And there it spells out very clearly that if we're not doing the will of God, we will have pain and punishment. But if we're doing the will of God, we have life eternal, he says. And it's going to be a separation, the sheep from the goats, those on the left and those on the right. Rest assured, we're going to be separated just as Jesus has said. And the judgment will begin. We'll all be changed in a moment. I want us to read this because it's very interesting to note. You know, so many people, there's so much misconception about our lives after this physical life is over, but yet God makes it very clear in Matthew 15, is just one passage where he speaks of it, in verse 51 beginning there. And notice what he says there. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." This physical body will not inherit eternal life in heaven. The spirit within will, but not the physical. And as he says there in verse 52, he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The physical body will die and go back to the earth from which it came. But the spirit will live on, the spirit within us. For this corruptible must put on, and verse 54 says, so then this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? He goes on to say, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we mentioned that earlier in class also about how that our Lord and Savior, He's what gave us the hope of eternal life in heaven. Without His death on that cross, without the shedding of His blood on that cross, we would have no hope of this eternal life that we're talking about. But yet it is through His Son, through the gracious mercy of God, that He has given this to us. Therefore, He says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Abounding in the work of God. Recognizing that we've got to appear before that judgment seat. Let us be doing everything possible in service to God. Then also, I want us to consider this, that we will spend our eternity somewhere. In Matthew 25, again, in the latter part of that passage there, it makes a reference there that those who are wicked, those who have not done as God has commanded, it says, these will go away into everlasting punishment. Now keep that in mind. Everlasting punishment. Never ending. But then he goes on to say, but the righteous, eternal life in heaven. We need to consider that whenever we think about hell itself, what descriptions does God give us in His Word about hell? What should we expect if we find ourselves in eternal punishment? Well, we find that it is a lake of fire and brimstone. We read that in Revelation 21 and verse 8. A lake of fire and brimstone. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, it talks about a place of torment. Now keep in mind, I don't know of anybody that enjoys torment. But this is talking, and again, keep in mind, it says everlasting punishment. So everything that he describes here about hell is everlasting. Twenty-four hours a day. 7 days a week, throughout eternity. Place of torment. Matthew 8, chapter 12 and chapter 22 and 13, it talks about a place of outer darkness. There is no light. You can't see. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12 and 22 and 13, again, it refers to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever been in such pain that you find yourself gnashing at your teeth? That the anguish is so severe? Now again, keep in mind, everlasting punishment. Everlasting. Keep that in mind. Revelation 21 and verse 8, again, I want to re-edify. Everlasting second death. It is the second death. But this death does not end. This death goes throughout eternity. Now with that in keeping in mind, let's look at that of heaven. How does God describe heaven? Well, in Revelation 2:7, he gives the glimpse there to John, and he talks about the paradise of God. You know, whenever you think about a place of paradise, probably the closest thing that we can imagine to that on this earth was when God created the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. It was a place of paradise. All they had to do was just obey God. And because of their sin, they were driven out of that place of paradise. Why? Because what God creates is paradise. There is no place for sin. There's no place for sin in heaven. There's no place for evil. There's no place for disobedience. There's no place for rebellion in heaven. Heaven is a place of paradise. There's no fear, no anguish, no pain. In Luke 16:25, it talks about a place of comfort. You remember the story of Lazarus? The rich man? They both died. Lazarus was carried by Abraham into Abraham's bosom by the angels, and he was in comfort. Now, in the physical life, he was in torment and pain. But when he died, the angels carried him to a place of comfort. Now, the rich man it talks about, it says that when he opened his eyes, he was in a place of torment. But Lazarus was comforted. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, we read that earlier, how that all the former things, everything that we go through in this physical life will be passed away. It's done away with. And then in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, as we read earlier, it is a life eternal with God in heaven. Now the choice is ours. How we live our lives determines our destiny. And as we go through this journey, let us do so in such a way that we all have our faces toward the setting of the sun, toward heaven. Let us focus on that. Brad made it very clear in class. Hope is what promotes us. It's what motivates us to do the things worthy of eternal life in heaven. But we've got to do it. We've got to make that commitment to God. If you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, heaven awaits you, just as it awaits each and every one of us. What stands in your way and that of heaven is your obedience to that gospel. Just simply believing with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, to make a change in your life, to commit to God, to make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you can be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. What we find in the book of Romans, where it talks about the old man of sin is washed away, but we arise to walk in newness of life. That's all that stands in your way. For those that have obeyed the gospel, sin is what stands in our way. When we commit sin, and believe me, once saved, always saved, that is not true. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all need to confess our sins. We all need to repent of our sins. We need to continually be cleansing ourselves, renewing ourselves. Let us make today that day that I renew myself, that I cleanse myself of the sins. It's holding me back from being faithful unto God. Whatever your needs are, we hope and pray that you'll come forward. While together we stand and sing the invitations.